Ezekiel chapter 33, and this is our 20th study in the book of Ezekiel. And Father, we pray that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Ezekiel's responsibility as watchman. It is his duty to sound the warning that God's people are in trouble. And so we begin in chapter 33, verse 1, which reads, "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people in the land take a man of their borders, and set him for their watchman, if when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people." And that was his job. It'd be like a guard. The watchman's responsibility was to correctly see and correctly warn and faithfully warn the people of his community of approaching danger. If a watchman did not do that, he did not do his job. People counted on him. People looked to him. He could not give them security, but he could warn them when a situation was dangerous so that they could take steps to protect themselves. That was the duty of the watchman. That is the duty of preachers. As a preacher, I cannot save anyone. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't. That's not my job. My job is to warn people who are being unbiblical in their life, are not believing the correct things, aren't behaving the correct way, that they're in trouble with God, so that they can do something to change their destiny. Preachers are to be watchmen. Verse 4. But let's read along with it. Verse 3. Then, or it says, when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. God suggests here that everyone should be able to hear the truth. Everyone should have an opportunity to hear the truth and respond to it. Of course, what they do with it is their own business. And if they do not respond to the truth of God's word correctly, then they have no one to blame but themselves. And that's what he's talking about. And he explains in verse 5, he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. See, God gives us a free will. If a person heeds, or if a person doesn't heed warning, they have no one to blame but themselves for their trouble. If a person doesn't take heed to what the Word of God says and apply it to their lives, well, then they have no one to blame but themselves for the trouble that they are going to have with God and in eternity. Verse 6, but if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned. In other words, if the watchman doesn't do his job, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So if a watchman doesn't do his job and warn the people of danger, then the people are going to suffer. That won't change. But God will hold that watchman responsible. He will hold the people responsible for not doing the right thing. But he will also hold the watchman responsible for not warning them that they needed to do the right thing. Verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. Ezekiel is a spiritual watchman. He is a preacher of God's word. He is called by God to teach and preach the word of God faithfully. He must preach the word of God and warn people about the consequences of rebellion. He has to do it. Even if they don't pay him a salary for doing it, he has to do it. Even if they hate him for speaking the truth, even if he becomes very unpopular, it doesn't matter. He must do what God has called him to do, as every preacher must do what God has called them to do, which is, above and beyond everything else, to proclaim the truth of God's word, whether it's popular or not. That is the job of the spiritual watchman, the preacher. 7. So thou, actually, verse 8. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. And so God makes it clear, sinners will pay for their sins. You cannot pass the buck, as it were. You cannot blame someone else or something else if you're a guilty sinner before God and somehow avoid being punished. Just doesn't work that way. Sinners are responsible for their sin. Sinners will pay for their sins. But preachers who didn't preach against those sins will be guilty before God as well. You'll share in that guilt because you didn't do what God wanted. God wanted to give those people an opportunity to repent before it was too late. And you didn't give them that opportunity. You're in trouble with God if you're a preacher. And it's not popular to point out sin. And it's not popular to say this is wrong and that is wrong because God's word says it's wrong. There's a lot of people who even call themselves Christians who will get irritated at you for doing that. Nevertheless, you must do that if you're a preacher. Verse 9. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Preachers are not responsible for how people respond to the word of God. My job is to give you the truth. What you do with it is your business. It grieves me when I see people who don't apply it. I have spent hours preparing messages for people who needed to hear it, and then only to have them reject it. I've done that many times. They're not rejecting me. I've done my job. All I can do is give them the medicine. I can't force it down their throat. All I can do is give people the truth. What they do with it, that's up to them. But I've been obedient if I've communicated the truth. And that's not just for preachers, that's for Christians in general. You give people the truth, you've done your job. If you withhold truth from people who you know need it, then you're going to be in trouble with God as well. You understand truth for a reason. God didn't give you an understanding of what is true so that you would keep it to yourself. He wants you to share it. You must share it, or you will in part be responsible. For the fall of that soul that you did not share God's word with. So preachers are watchmen for sure, but in another sense, we all are. All Christians are. Verse 10. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? I say unto them, or say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his sin and live. Turn ye, turn from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? God pleads for people to repent. That's what he's doing here. Why die and go to hell, says God, when it can be avoided? God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He doesn't enjoy sending anyone to hell, no matter how much they deserve it. He doesn't want to punish anyone. That's why we are not to rejoice when someone is punished by God. He punishes because he is just and he must, but he doesn't rejoice in it, and he doesn't want us to rejoice. We are not to rejoice in the calamity that comes upon the wicked. We are not to take pleasure in such things. We are to feel bad that they didn't repent. That's how God feels. And then notice verse 12. Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness, neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. The doctrine of unconditional eternal security is not supported by Scripture. You, and I know because I was taught that in school, I was taught that by Bible teachers that I read and studied and listened to for 15, 20 years. But there were always things in my mind that I questioned about because there were so many verses that taught the opposite, and they would always try to explain them away. Well, it doesn't really mean what it says. Oh, really? Well, when you get up to about 120 verses that you have to twist and say it doesn't mean what it says, then you got to wonder. You start to wonder. And the doctrine of unconditional eternal security is not supported by Scripture. If a believer turns from his righteous ways and begins to live a life sinning without repentance, he will die eternally lost. We are as secure as we want to be. No one can take us from God. The Bible says no one can snatch us out of God's hands. The Bible says no one can snatch us out of the hands of Jesus Christ. And God will not reject us, as long as we want him. But we can choose to walk away from him if we want to sin. If we want to live in sin instead of live to please God, we can choose to turn our back on him. If we couldn't, he never would have given this warning. On the other hand, if a wicked person repents, they will be saved. See, it's never too late to repent. But God leaves it up to us. We are as secure as we want to be, but our security, God leaves up to us. And it's never too late to repent. But our repentance, well, God leaves that up to us too. 13. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered. But for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. In other words, if someone thinks that they can trust in their past righteousness to save them, when they are now living in sin and not repenting, they are wrong. You can't find that in the Bible. And we're not talking about salvation by works here. We're talking about salvation by faith, but faith without works is dead. God says, I won't remember their past righteousness. If somebody is living in sin today and not repenting, God says, I don't care how righteous they were in the past, I'm not going to remember it. In other words, their past righteousness will not help them one single bit. Those days are gone. It doesn't matter how good we used to be. It doesn't matter how strong our faith used to be. It doesn't matter how often we used to go to church. It doesn't matter how often we used to live for Christ and love and appreciate Him. It only matters what we are now. And if our faith is real now. Again, throw the doctrine of unconditional eternal security out the window. According to this verse, it is dead on arrival. 14. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right. Stop there for a second. He says, again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. And the wicked should be told that they are in trouble with God. This verse teaches that they should be told. God wants to say to them, you shall surely die. It's not okay that you live in sin without repenting. The wicked should be told that they are in trouble with God. God wants to say to them, you're in trouble. God doesn't want them to be living with a false sense of security. And woe unto the preacher who will not call sin, sin. And will not call people to repentance. Woe unto that preacher. And so he says again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that which he had robbed, walk in statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. In other words, verse 15 is saying, if the wicked person repents and brings forth fruit that is fitting for repentance and brings forth fruit that if he brings forth works that coexist with repentance, that go along with repentance, then they won't be punished. See, true repentance can always be seen because true repentance always results in change. Not just a change of mind, but a change of lifestyle, a change of priorities, a change of action. A person who repents will take the necessary steps to avoid sin. If they don't, they have not repented. It's just that simple. Don't say that you have repented from your sins and now you are serious about God. If you have not taken steps, practical, down-to-earth, everyday steps to avoid committing those sins, you haven't repented. a warning to all. Don't try to pull a fast one on God. You can maybe fake a sincere repentance to some people, but if you don't mean business, God won't buy it, and you're in danger of hellfire. Don't try to kid God. He knows what's going on. 15. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that which he had robbed. Walk in the statutes of life. Without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Justification is by faith. But the Bible says faith without works is dead. Justification is by faith, but faith without works, it may be some sort of intellectual assent to the truthfulness of some facts, but that's not saving faith. The devil believes the facts about Jesus Christ. The devil believes the Bible is true. The devil believes in God, but the devil is not saved. He does not have saving faith. He just assents. He has a mental assent to the facts. But that's not saving faith. Faith without works, without repentance, is not saving faith. That's why if one shows their faith through repentance, then God says, well, they are justified. In other words, as he says here, the sins he has committed in the past will not be remembered by God. Just think of that. If you repent of your sin and invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, the sins that you have committed in the past will not be remembered by God. Don't bring them up to God. Sometimes Christians bring up their past sins in their prayers to God. Don't do that. Because he has chosen to remove them from his mind. He'll say, what sin? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. You're living in a dream world. I don't remember any sins. God will say, I see your faith in action. I know you have saving faith. All I see is righteousness on you. See, again, it doesn't matter what we used to be, bad or good. It only matters what we are. 17. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. And so these people who were supposed to be God's people, they were figuring that God was just wrong. They figured God was wrong. They figured that if a person did 50 good things, for example, and 49 bad things, well, then they ought to get to heaven. So I wonder about people who think that way concerning God and spiritual things. I wonder if they would apply their reasoning to other areas of life. For example, if you shoot a target with your pistol for 50 days straight, but then on day 51, you turn that pistol and you shoot yourself, I wonder, do you think that you should not die? After all, I mean, the 50 days they shot the target outweighed the one day that they shot themselves. I mean, it was 50-1. Sorry. We all know how ridiculous that is. It doesn't work that way. The 50 days they shot the target, the 50 days that they did the right thing with the gun, are forgotten. The only thing that matters is the one day that they did the wrong thing with the gun. That's what will be remembered. That's the thing that counts. The only thing that matters is the one day that they did the wrong thing with the gun. So much for screwy logic. So God is saying, my thinking isn't off kilter, yours is. 18. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die for it. See, God repeats for emphasis. The doctrine of unconditional eternal security Again, cannot be true. He says, when the righteous turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he shall even die for it. And that's not just physical death. That's spiritual death. The only condition that counts with God is our present condition. That's it. We cannot stash good works in a spiritual bank and draw them out to cover present sins. It doesn't work that way. If being righteous today is important to God, then being righteous today should be important to us as well. Verse 19. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live by it. If a wicked person repents, God will save him instantly. No questions asked. God will not just save them instantly, God will also wipe out all past sins. No matter how big the sin debt might be, you can have a mountain of sins, they're gone. It may surprise you to learn that no sinful past is too horrendous for God to forgive. No one who repents and trusts Christ is too far gone to be saved. And I bring that up because I have talked to Christians in the past who, for whatever reason, do not think that it should be that way. And I often wonder about people like that, if they really understand what salvation is. But I've talked to Christians who don't think it should be that way, that God shouldn't save the extreme sinners. What they don't understand is that from God's perspective, we are all extreme sinners. It's true. God is so perfect and God is so holy that even one sin against him is enough to send a person to hell, because his standard for entrance into heaven is absolute perfection. You know, if you are jumping across the river, Let's say you're going to jump across the Wisconsin River in the spring when it's running fast and the dams are open. You're going to jump across the river. So you start on one bank and you get a big running start, and let's say you're young and in great shape, and so you take a jump and you jump about 1/50th of the way across the river. And then I take a jump, and I'm not so young. And I jump, and I only, you know, can jump about 5 feet from the bank. And then, you know, that's it. Well, you know what? The current takes both of us away. It doesn't matter if you miss by 80% or by 50% or by 90%. The current's still going to take you away. You're still going to drown. And that's the way it is with God. Whether we are guilty of one sin or 1 million sins, it still takes the death of God's Son on the cross to save us from hell. Anyone who thinks that they deserve salvation more than someone else, anyone who thinks that they don't deserve salvation as much as someone else, is thinking by the world's reasoning, not God's. That's just not how he looks at it. Verse 20. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you, every one after his ways. God's judgment is just, and it is fair. His justice is perfect. He shows no partiality. It's really very simple. If one repents and trusts in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Bible says they will be saved. If one does not do those things, they are lost until they do, or lost forever if they never do. We'll pick it up next time in chapter 33, verse 21. Until then, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.